Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking today about a subject that I think is just very appropriate, and it is the courage to be free, to discover your original fearless self. Now, this was written by Guy Finley, but however, he is busy, so he has his associate, Tim Weekman, who is with us today. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Well, it's a delight. I know Guy is quite busy. For those of my listeners that may not be aware of Guy Finley, he is a man who has dedicated himself to teaching the understandings that he has learned about. And he has written a number of books. He has different centers that he participates with. And we're going to be talking about something special towards the end of the half hour. There is a very, very unique free program that's being offered to people that would be interested. But before we do that, we're going to talk with Tim, because I understand, Tim, that you are pretty close with Guy. In fact, when he's busy on the road, you're the one that stands in and talks for him.
Well, from time to time, that's true. There's actually a group of students here who have been studying with Guy for quite some time now. And when Guy is on the road, we'll step in and share what it is that we've learned and hopefully pass along a little bit of helpful insight here and there.
Well, I think that's marvelous. Tim, how did you get involved with Guy? What was it that caused you to cross paths with him and decide that you were going to hitch your horse, so to speak, to his wagon?
Yeah, well, you know what, Donna? Initially, I came across one of his books, and when I read it, I thought to myself, you know, these are really helpful ideas, and I think what I'll do is I'll keep these ideas handy, and I'll, you know, use them to apply from time to time, sort of like as a toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
But then along came a pretty major crisis, a relationship crisis, and it plummeted me into a pretty dark time, And so then I came back to these ideas in this book that I thought were just a toolkit, and I realized that they were a roadmap to a life I had there was no way I could have known what these ideas would lead to, that there was, in fact, an entirely different way to live life. That a person didn't have to be subjected to the kinds of things that a person faces daily, anxiety, nervousness, depression, or at the very least, that there was an entirely different way to meet them, a way that actually changed those states and what the nature of the person is who goes through them.
This book, I think, The Courage to be Free, has some very poignant thoughts in it.
Mm-hmm.
We have in our world today so many environments that are either under a dictatorship or have so much of the rule of government that there literally are no freedoms, personal freedoms at all.
Yes.
And here we are today going through some similar challenges in the United States, but it is really freedom. Real freedom comes from within the self. And often when we're oppressed by external circumstances, it's very difficult to keep the awareness that we are in charge of our space, our minds, our inner self. And
yes,
there is a quote out of the book right at the very beginning. It says, "You have a right to walk through this life without any fear of what may await you ahead." Now, I won't speak for anybody else, but I know there have been times in my life that I have just wanted to see so far ahead, saying, how do I make sure that this doesn't happen, that doesn't happen, how do I make sure that so-and-so is not going to hurt and blah, blah, blah. We really get out on those tangents. What have you learned in working with Guy about this kind of a habit?
You know, Donna, I have to say, so what you've brought up so far and what you've highlighted is a kind of music, because there's so much going on. There's so much unfolding inside of what you just described. So there's maybe seven different avenues we can take. Here's the first one that comes to mind. You know, we hear an idea like that, that you have the right to live a life free of fear. And I think, you know, anybody who's honest will say, you know, I love the sentiment, but in my life, from what I've seen, it's an absolute impossibility. And in one respect, at the outset, it is. It is an impossibility for the self who initially hears that. But it's not an impossibility for the part of a person who recognizes, yes, I know in some way I'm intended to live this way. I don't know how. I don't have any idea how to get there, but I know that I'm not supposed to live a life in which the smallest of things can crush my day. A glance from somebody at the supermarket can send me pushing my cart for the next three aisles wondering, what on earth is wrong with that person? What's wrong with me that they would look at me like that? So one of the things that you just mentioned, you know, there are times where I want to look so far beyond what's in front of me right now so that I can get past what right now seems impossible, what right now seems terrifying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one of the pinnacle keys. The attempt to try to outrun or get beyond what's in front of me at the moment that is scary, fearful, depressing, anxiety-ridden, the attempt to get past it, to get beyond it, to go around it, really, is what we try to do, is the very thing that perpetuates and strengthens those conditions. It actually makes them stronger, guarantees they return with more force.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something that we learn in this work. These ideas, they've been on the planet, well, for as long as there's been a planet. And it's called the work in many traditions. So in this work, there's something we learn, which is an individual is first given a glimpse of a new possibility. You can call it an invitation into an entirely different life. Then there must be payment. They must pay if they wish to inhabit this other world that they've caught a glimpse of. Then comes the integration. Then comes the freedom. What happens now, and we all know what this is like, I find a new self-help book, and as I read it, it's spectacular. It's wonderful. I see all kinds of new possibilities. But it ends up becoming a dust collector on my shelf, and nothing really changes. And the reason nothing changes is because payment is required. Payment is required. What that means is I must willingly enter into this moment that seems so terrifying. An individual must willingly meet it as opposed to try to find some way around it. And at the very least, if a person can just begin to glimpse the fact that the more I try to get around these scary moments, the more they return, that itself is a huge hint as far as what kind of new action is necessary. You know, a good example is speaking in front of an audience, you know, public
mm-hmm.
speaking.
Yes.
I mean, somebody who's been frightened of public speaking, they're asked to make a presentation at work, and, you know, for the 3 days leading up to it, they find themselves checking and checking and checking to see, is my confidence still here? Do I still feel confident? Ooh, I'm starting to feel a little bit nervous. I'm starting to feel anxious. And so there's, in all these different ways, there's this wish or this attempt to, how can I avoid going through this moment that seems so terrifying, so scary?
There's a wonderful story. It's a little parable about a wise old owl whose name is Solomon. And I like owls. So Solomon just really suits an owl, because an owl in many cultures is denoted as a symbol of wisdom. Why? Because, well, they can turn their head 360 degrees. They've got eyes that can see in the dark, and they can fly without you ever hearing them. They're incredible hunters. They're very alert, very aware, and they're always asking the question, who? I think that's the reason that they were made as a symbol of wisdom. It's hoo-hoo. And I just think they're absolutely gorgeous. I've always loved owls.
Yeah, me too.
And they're just very efficient systems. But this story about Solomon the owl is absolutely wonderful, because Solomon flies with eagles. And, of course, in our mind, the eagle is the top of the predatory birds, and they're just magnificent, they're powerful, they've got excellent vision. But this little story, just give us a little summation of why it's put in the book.
Oh, sure. Let's see, the story is about a group of eagles who Solomon is flying over them one day, and he sees them all walking across the ground, and they're wearing all sorts of gear, goggles, crash helmets, a flight bag, and a little manual that's called The Eagle's Walking Guide to the Best Fishing Locations.
I love that.
That's
so
great.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure. And so let's see what they, as Solomon watches this group of eagles, he sees them fighting. He sees that they don't have the nobility that, you know, a creature like that is intended to have. And he just sees that they're, you know, basically unhappy because they're not fulfilling what they were here to do. And Solomon eventually finds out that there's a group of crows, a murder of crows, who tricked the eagles into forfeiting what is inherently theirs, which is the freedom to soar the skies without being encumbered with all of these useless gadgets and add-ons and features. And the reason the story was included in the book is because if we watch closely what takes place in our own lives, we find that fear, depression, anxiety, terror over somebody in my life leaving me, whatever it is, these things surface in our life because of what's called in the book unoriginal equipment, things that we're carrying that are not part of our original equipment. So in the case of, you know, somebody who's terrified to stand in front of a group of people and give a speech, the individual in that scenario is holding a false value, a false belief, something that adds no intrinsic value to his or her life, but which is the very source of the fear, the trembling, the nervousness that makes it impossible to be natural in a situation like that. And so when we start to rid ourselves of this unoriginal equipment, these ideas that in some way somebody's approval actually makes a difference in my life. I mean, all of us labor under this delusion, and it is a delusion. But if you look at it closely and track it back as far as you can, you find out it adds no value to me whether somebody approves of me or doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes no difference in my life. And so that's the reason that that little story was included.
Yes, and I'll just mention, because anybody that gets the book will want to read the whole story, but the eagles do learn how to fly, and then some. It's just a wonderful, wonderful little parable. Well, let's talk about some other aspects in
Sure.
the book, because I have never found anyone who has been successful that hasn't gone through the dark night of the soul.
Yes.
But many times, dependent on what we grew up with, what we have chosen to associate with, how we choose to express ourselves, we have our little paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
And we adopt them. They're just like the eagles with their flight manual and all of this other stuff. That's
mm-hmm.
just what you've mentioned. That's really not necessary. But it seems
yes.
like we human beings have to grow up and become aware of who we are. And part of it is discovering what is not working, and that we have the freedom to, one, change our mind, since everything begins with a thought, and then to change our actions, choose our direction, so that we can have what we want. Now, that for many is easier said than done, because if they're like I've been at different fine times in my life, I'll say, well, that's wonderful if I could make a change, but what am I supposed to see? Dependent on our experiences, our actual capacity of vision, of having eyes wide open, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, just may not be there. How do we learn that we do have that freedom? Because there's a lot of people that are literally brainwashed by others. They want to manipulate them and control them, but they don't have that freedom. How can they change that?
Mm-hmm. I think it begins by studying the nature of your life presently as it is. And the more let me just add this. I think it's come to a point now where it's vital, it's essential that an individual come across, find some source of wisdom, a true source of wisdom. And I'll tell you, it's hard to find in modern day literature. You know, there is a long lineage of great, very wise individuals, men, women, who have walked the planet, who have left us a lot of hints, a lot to go on. And I would consider Guy Finley's works to be among them as well. Because we really do need new knowledge to begin to understand what it is that we're intended to be doing here on this planet. To begin to see, you know, this new possibility for myself, despite all of this past conditioning, these limitations, you know, based on how I was raised and, you know, the financial condition of our family or the environment I was raised in, what have you. A person needs a little bit of a prompt just to look in certain directions within their life where they can see that indeed, even in the present state of my life, it is absolutely possible to have an entirely different experience, to claim something that is inherently mine. And so I'll just give you some examples that come to mind. You know, everybody's been out in nature, maybe in front of the ocean. There's a beautiful sunset. You know, right now the autumn light is beginning to do those miraculous things that it does in the late afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you stand there, and as you watch this, you know, the concerns of life fall away, even if it's only for an instant. They fall away, and you take part in something that you know for certain that you're not giving to yourself, but yet it's so filling, it's so complete, you really don't even want to do one thing to touch it. And so, you know, a person thinks, well, okay, great, you know, that's a sunset, you know, wonderful. You know, there's no sunset in my boss's office when he calls me in to, you know, rake me over the coals because of the report that I submitted or what have you. But it turns out there are hints in those moments where we're watching a sunset of a different way to live your entire life as opposed to just these little moments that we, you know, take a vacation to go enjoy scenery here and there. There's a quality, and I'll just bring it in right into the discussion right now. It's called your attention, the ability to command your own attention. That is one of the pinnacle keys. I think I mentioned one earlier. Having command of your attention is the principal key to finding this life that all of these great men and women have written about. Because without it, and here, let me just give you an example. You know, a cat or a dog has elementary attention. You know, something drops in the house and the dog's head pops up and looks over at whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
That's an elementary form of attention. But it turns out that human beings have a remarkable form of attention because it allows them to participate with anything that their attention falls upon. So, for example, if I love, let's say I love dance, and I go to, you know, the community dance festival, it is my attention that allows me to stand in the audience and participate with, actually experience something of what these dancers are doing. Maybe I love piano, same thing. It's my attention given to these things that allow me to participate with and become one with, in a literal sense, to become one with music as my attention is being given over to instruction or to somebody who's playing beautiful music. If a person wants to reclaim this natural, this inherent freedom, they're going to have to learn what it means to command their attention. And we can go into this further, Donna, if it's making sense up to this point.
Well, what I'd like to do is shift just for a minute to
sure.
a section of the book, because
sure.
even though this book, The Courage to Be Free, is not a huge book, and it's not a thick book. It's got a lot of very significant things in it
mm-hmm.
in the way of information. And one section that I really wanted to address was to never feel sorry for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of us have our portable pity potty pots that
yeah,
we like
sure.
to lug around, and most of them are pretty full, and we just have, if they, we notice they're getting empty, it's like, oh, we got to put some more pity into the pity pot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very self-destructive patterning, and it is something that I really like the statement in the book that negative states in general are part of an interior conspiracy
yes.
to produce the illusion that no choice exists for us. I really like those words, an interior conspiracy. Have you ever been around someone, and I usually don't get into politics, but there is someone in my family, actually there's a couple of them, they will stay glued to the television set, watching one political program after the other. They get so agitated, their blood pressure goes up,
mm-hmm.
they just get very animated, and they go on and on and on and on and on, and I go, wait a minute, what is it? It's going back to what's said here, this interior conspiracy to focus really on what you don't want. And my response to the person has been, fine, you're watching this stuff. What are you doing about it? Well, what do you mean, what am I doing about it? Well, are you doing any action to take part in something that can make a difference? Are you going
right.
to join a group? What are you going to do? No, they sit in front of the TV. I had a girlfriend whose mother, we used to laugh at Emma like crazy because she loved professional wrestling. She thought that was the real thing. Her blood pressure would go sky high. She'd go into her doctor. Her doctor would look at her and say, you've been watching them again, haven't you? Yes, I have. And she, you know, whether it was Gorgeous George or whoever it was, it
yep,
was there.
Yep.
She would just go on and on and on. And he said, you know what, Emma? If you want to live to be almost 100, which she did, by the way, she lived to be almost 100, he said, you better give it up. She said, why? He said, because, Emma, every time you watch this, you get into it, and this is what's happening to you. So it's an illusion what you're watching, but it's okay. You make the choice. So she gave up wrestling, and she lived to be almost 100. But the thing is, you know, I use the two stories, the two comparisons, whether it's watching something on television, people get so agitated. But I like those two words, interior conspiracy. We undermine ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like for you to address that for a little bit.
Sure. You know, you mentioned it at the top of the show, actually, about there being, you know, we're at a place now in civilization where there's dictatorships and, the slow or sometimes fast elimination of personal rights. And there's a principal tenet from this body of ideas, which is that the inner determines the outer, that it's an interior coup, an interior conspiracy that is the real root that later produces the exterior ones that we see. And you can you can see this in so many different examples. An individual will, instead of standing up for what is right, and will go quiet in the face of it because he or she thinks, well, if I don't rock the boat here, maybe I can secure for myself a better future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll get on the good side of whoever the bully is in the moment, let's say, or whatever the scenario is. But then it turns out that an entire system slowly blooms from that dark seed, where you get more and more disparity, more and more separation between power and those over which that power is commanded. And the exact same thing happens internally, where, well, a bully shows up internally that says, you shouldn't be spoken to like this. You shouldn't be treated like this. What are you doing letting yourself be treated like this? Go correct that person. Go let them have it. Because if you do, you'll show who's in charge. So a bully, an interior bully, shows up within our own consciousness. And because presently there isn't really a discernment about what these states are and where they come from, we act on it. We go, we start a fight, we battle, have a conflict, you know, have a grudge with somebody for 10 years or whatever it is. But then what we don't realize is that by participating in that way in our own psychology, we end up serving the very same system, so that there's never an end to the bullying. The bullying promises that there'll be relief if you just go and take care of this situation with the person. But it turns out that every time somebody talks down to me or doesn't see my brilliance in the situation, I have to come back with more force. So I never actually find a resting point. I never actually find the peace that these interior promptings are always promising me if I just go carry out the action one more time, whether it's a self-compromising behavior, an addiction, fighting with somebody, not speaking up when I'm prompted to speak up, giving in to feeling depressed, to feeling like, you know, I haven't made it in life. There's an actual conspiracy happening every time we agree to them because we think that there's going to be some kind of relief at the end of it, and then there never is. It's a perpetuated cycle.
It's a fascinating part of life, and self-pity is something that creates such a quicksand in our environment, mentally, physically, emotionally, and even physically, you know, spiritually. There's just so much there, and if we're not careful, we begin to feel that that's the reality. Mm-hmm. I think this little book is such a powerful book, The Courage to be Free. I love the stories that are in it. How to Discover Your Original Fearless Self, The Endowment of Our Rightful Heritage. But it's a process of learning. And I don't know that there are any shortcuts, because we all have to be accountable to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't blame other people when it's our own thinking that gets in our way. So it's really a fascinating book to have handy. And it's something that it's good to read it when maybe you're on lunch hour or maybe before you go to bed at night, just for something mentally to chew on and to think about. And there's these wonderful stories in it. Now, Tim, there is something special on the website, guyfinley.org. Tell us what that program is that you're offering.
Yes. Let's see. We have a free starter kit that we give away. First, the website is just loaded with free material. There's hours and hours and days worth of material on the website, guyfinley.org. But there is a starter kit that we give away free. You can find it on any page on the site, and you'll get a free copy of a very practical exercise book called 30 Keys to Change Your Destiny. There's a really great audio program called 5 Simple Steps to Make Yourself Fearless. And then there's a few other additional downloads that are part of that package. It's free, very easy to get it. And also, Donna, for anybody who gets the book, we also give away a free DVD. You'll find a little section in the back of the book that mentions that. So whatever way you can get some of this material into your life, we would definitely encourage you to do so.
Right. And again, that's Guy Finley, FINLEY.org. And the free DVD, you can check out how to get that, and that's the Harnessing the Secret Power of Conscious Persistence.
Yes.
It's just a wonderful bit of information there. Tim, It has been just a delight having you today. Do give our regards to Guy and tell him we've enjoyed the book a great deal. Again, for those of you listening, guyfinley.org. And do you have a quick thought that you can share with my audience before we close out our conversation today?
Yeah, I would just say that there is a gift that every human being was given and that you actually stand in possession of right now as you sit and listen to this. And that one little gift, it takes work to uncover it. Nobody can strip it from you, and nobody can keep you from discovering it. And once you find it, it will bring meaning into every moment of your life, whether it's the highest of highs, the lowest of lows. It will be something that cannot be stripped from you.
Tim, thank you so much for being my guest today. Again, my regards to Guy Finley. And for those of you listening, guyfinley.com, this delightful book, The Courage to be Free. This is Donna Sebo. We will be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. Now, that's worldwide, toll-free, 888-815-9756. Now, I know we've got a caller waiting, but before we go to that caller, I want to remind those of you who are listening from Western Washington, there is an evening of mediumship this evening in downtown Tacoma. It starts at 7 o'clock at the Blue Mouse Theater, which is at 2611 North Proctor Street. And there's information. You can get a map to the Blue Mouse Theater just by going to their website, bluemousetheater.com. But there's going to be a number of demonstrations with the skills of mind. And if you want to know about some of the people, well, one of them is Michael, who is a transphysical phenomenon individual. And this is something that used to be seen more frequently in England, but there's not many people that have the physiological, structure and nerve stamina that can do this and do this well. So Michael is the first one I have been aware of in a long, long time. There's also going to be other clairvoyants, mediums, channelers, whatever term you would like to use. Now, if you'd like more information about this wonderful event this evening, 253-503-3773 is the telephone number to call. 253-503-3773, or go to their website, spiritualartsalliance.com. That's spiritualartsalliance.com. I'm going to have the opportunity to go. I wasn't sure that that was going to work out for me, so I'm looking forward to being there myself this evening. And I hope that you'll be able to come out, too, because this is something I think that you'll enjoy. Also, I wanted to let you know that this Sunday... Oh, let me backstep for a minute. First, I want to thank Deb Ivanoff for the wonderful interview that we had last night. It was just terrific, and it's day-to-day blog talk radio, and it's just she's just a doll. She's absolutely wonderful. We had a great time. So you can go to her website, and you can hear the interview because it's all there archived. And then this Sunday, I'm going to be doing a live interview with James Lowe on KJAG Radio. His show is called the Jiggy Jaguar Radio Show. Yes, that's a mouthful. Try to say that five times in a row and keep it all straight. The Jiggy Jaguar Radio Show, and I'm going to be on air with him between 2:30 and 3:30 Pacific time. He is in the Midwest, so he is going to be on Central Time. But anyway, what you do is go to www.kjagradio.com and look for the Jiggy Jaguar Radio Show, and you'll be able to listen to the show live if you are available at that time of the day on Sunday. Okay, let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. And remember, if you'd like to call in and chat, here is the toll-free number, 888-815-9756. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. This is Pat in Connecticut.
Well, hi, Pat in Connecticut. How is it looking out there? A little bit crisp and cool?
That's right.
Oh, I love Connecticut. I'd spent so many years, but I'll never forget a flight when I came in to Hartford, Connecticut, an airport that was near there. And it
right.
was breathtakingly gorgeous. We broke through a cloud cover, and the panorama of brilliant reds and oranges and the rich, luscious browns were all there. I had never seen anything like that. That canopy was just absolutely amazing. It still is one of my favorite memories. Of course, I'm from the East Coast this time of the year, but oh, it was gorgeous. And I'd never been above that big an area of color when Mother Nature was, you know, dressing herself differently, preparing for winter.
Yes.
So it's just absolutely gorgeous. You live in a beautiful area of country. Oh. Okay, Pat, let's get down to business with you. First thing that I'm looking at here is, attention to detail is important. You cannot assume anything. And when it comes to dealing with the financial issues, look at the facts. Have everything written out in black and white. Don't feel that you're going to be deprived of anything, because you're not. But look at it with clarity and say, okay, this is what I'm going to have to deal with maybe for the next 2 to 3 months, perhaps the next 9 months. And that being the case, I'll take it in stride. I'm going to get past it. It's not that big a deal. But you must deal with the facts. And there's a part of you that is wanting to follow a pattern of anxiousness. This is something that you were brought up with. And
pattern of what? I'm sorry.
Anxiousness.
Oh,
and
yes.
Worry, okay? It's a pattern. It's
yes.
a habit. And you were trained to do this, as most of us are. It's not necessary. And every time you feel like that anxiousness is grabbing the center of your chest, you need to be mindfully present and say, wait a minute, who's the boss here? Now, if you need to go walk around the block, or if you need to have a punching bag that you punch, or whatever it takes, then you just say, wait a minute, I've got to get my focus back on to what I know I have to focus on. And things are going to have to take care of themselves, because I'm going to take care of business the way I need to take care of business, and the rest will work out. How? I don't need to know. I just take one step at a time. And I'll tell you what, you're not only going to have an utterly wonderful holiday season ahead of you, but you're going to find yourself really being able to relax. Really being able to relax. And I'm seeing some kind of artwork. Now, for some reason, I'm looking at your hands engaged with some materials, some colors, there might be some stitching going on here, But you're saying, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to, whenever I find myself really get anxious, I'm going to get busy with my hands. And, of course, you don't want to start baking goodies because you like what you fix when you start baking goodies. And you don't want to end up being so wide you can't even get out the front door. So what you want to do is have something else, but it's color. It's design. So maybe you're going to make a quilt, or maybe you're going to make yourself a wild and wacky costume for Halloween. I don't know what it is. But you need something that occupies the hands and the mind. So you have to pay attention to this. And anytime you start getting stressed, if you'll just go to that hand work, you'll work your way right through it. It's amazing. And then you'll say, well, that took care of it. So you're going to find something for you that enables you to work through changing a patterning that has sabotaged you so frequently. Because I'm seeing you not able to sleep. You're just exhausted. Your energy is just all drained out of you. And I'm going to say, No. Be mindfully present. Mindfully present. And maybe you need to redecorate a room. So you go, okay, I move everything out of the room. If I get anxious, I go in there and I paint a corner. Doesn't make any difference if it's the size of a postage stamp or it's the whole cotton picking wall. But it is your reorientation of focus, saying, I'm going to put my energy into something that's going to give me constructive support, not destructive, sabotaging support. I don't need that. What's on your mind, dear? What did you want to ask me about?
I have to say you're absolutely right on. And as I was calling you, this anxiety went to the pit of my stomach. I thought, oh, why has this come back? You're absolutely right, and I'm a painter, and I'm trying to get myself to get back to painting, to get myself moving. It's very hard with the anxiety and also depression. And I think I lost my dog, and I think I really need to replace my dog. And I think this is going to help me a lot. And you actually mentioned a dog was coming in. And I'm looking at this girl in Tennessee called Ruby Red, and I'm wondering if you see this to be a positive move.
Well, let me just back up for a minute. I think having a companion is fine, but I don't think you need to go to Tennessee.
She'll be shipped up.
No. What I'm trying to say, hon, is I think there is someone waiting for you at a local shelter.
Okay, I've been looking.
And all you have to do is just put it out there and set things up in your home. Because you want a smaller dog, you're not wanting a gigantic dog. You want a dog that's really going to be a pal. So I'm looking at sort of a mid-sized dog. And I just think that you need someone that can go walking and can just keep you company. A dog that is not going to require a whole bunch of attention.
Right.
Because you need to know that you've got a companion. But one that's not going to be what I'd call the needy companion, but is there with you. I would just say, keep on looking. And I'm seeing a dog. I'm not seeing a puppy. I don't see a puppy. I am seeing a dog that is maybe about a year old. So you're not in a financial position to pay for a purebred.
This is just a rescue dog. I really connected with this dog, and you don't see that as a good move?
I think, and if she's a rescue, that's good, but you need to really find out about the breed, the temperament of the dog. It's very important.
I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this kind of breed for 18 years. This is exactly what I want.
Well, that's great, but just check it out. Don't go by what I call a pure emotional thing because of the loss that you've just had. Give yourself a chance.
Uh-huh.
And the rescue groups, I think, are fabulous. They really are.
Yes.
I just am totally supportive of them. I think the people that are involved with them do such a fine, fine job. And it's been my experience that many of those dogs just are absolutely fabulous. But you have to really look at your own needs. When did your baby pass away?
In June.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've given yourself some time, which is good. Giving yourself some time. But you really need to set up your space in your home so you start getting busy with your art. Don't procrastinate on it. Start something this weekend.
Yes, I actually started today. I have been procrastinating, and I'm really wanting to get going with that.
Oh, you're going to love it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Pat. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in, telephone number to call in to, toll-free worldwide is 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. If you'd like to give me a buzz and let me light up your life with some intuitive insight, here's the telephone number to call in to, 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about wireless radiation rescue. Now, why is this important? Cell phones have become a very vital part of our lives. Wireless technology is absolutely phenomenal. But what we have become aware of, and what is coming to the forefront, finally in the United States, Europe has been way ahead of us on this, is that there are some dangers regarding radiation from cell phones. And this I've become aware of through medical professionals, and one of them will be joining me tomorrow right here at BBS on with Dr. Carrie Crofton. And I think you're going to find this quite a fascinating interview. So let's be aware. We need to be aware with our kids. You know, it comes down to the fact of understanding about who we are and that we have a personal responsibility to ourselves. I was talking with someone this morning, and they were saying, you know, we have so many good people in the area of medicine, and yet they found out about a person that had been really going through some very, very difficult times with cancer. And they said, this person got cancer in 1990. Here it is, 2010. And all of a sudden now they're having a very, very serious problem with this. Well, cancer is quite a fascinating disease in that it can mutate and change itself and end up harboring into areas of the body that we wouldn't expect it could go into. Well, regardless, they said, here is this person going through so many treatments, and they know it's really not going to work. So this person is being a guinea pig for a treatment that has no guarantees and is going through quite a bit of difficulty. So they were quite concerned about this. And they said, this is something we need to be consciously aware of. What do we want to do? What kind of quality of life do we want to have? This is something that medical professionals now are asking many of the same questions. How do we make life a quality of life? How do we pay attention to things that are not serving us appropriately? How can we keep ourselves well? Well, this is an ongoing concern. There's no end of the road here. It's something that requires a willingness to grow and expand outside of some paradigms that have been established that have become very misleading. And so little by little, we're finding out about these things because we have technology that allows us to do this kind of research. So this about wireless technology is not something to be taken lightly. There has been tremendous research. We'll learn about this tomorrow, and we'll be sharing it with you. So be sure to tell your friends about it. Also, next week, well, we're going to start off next week with what I think is totally appropriate for this month of October. After all, Halloween is coming up. We are going to be talking about the Wiser Field Guide to Witches. Yes. Did you think you knew it all? No, you don't. Judica Isles is going to be with us, and she's going to give us the inside scoop on the, well, maybe the witches of the old, but also the witches of today. Then we're going to be talking with Giorgio Tsoukalos. He's going to be talking about Twilight of the Gods. We're going to be talking about history and where many of the legends of the past have come from. A Resilient Life, Kate Elton. Is a woman that has dealt with rheumatoid arthritis since she was 2 years old. What a dynamic woman she is, and she's going to share her story. And then, if you love the healing arts, you're going to want to hear David Elliott. He's been a guest on my show. He was on a few years ago. And this man is psychic, but he's also very much involved in the area of healing, so we'll be discussing that on Thursday. And then, a subject that all of us can really pay attention to, and that is identity theft. There's a woman, Mari Frank. She has quite a special position in the state of California, and she's going to be talking about the Idiot's Guide to Identity Theft that she was a major contributor to. So we're going to be discussing some fascinating subjects next week. And, of course, I'm going to be in Alaska. I have a business trip. I'll be arriving in Fairbanks and on Tuesday, and I will be doing my broadcast from there. And also, then I'll be in Anchorage, Alaska. So for any of you who are listening from the Alaskan area, I want you to know I'll be up there, and you can go into my website, check out my newsletter if you have not already received it, and you will find out exactly how to reach me there. Or you can call me at my office, 800-872-8852. Also, for those of you in New York, I'm going to be in New York City for a very short period of time, but I will be available for private counseling. If that's something you'd like to connect with me on, all you have to do is call me at my office. I'll be in New York from the 21st to the 23rd. So call me at 800-872-8852, and we'll be able to get together. Well, that gives you some information there. And I was going to tell you yesterday a story about a friend of mine. Now, this may sound a little odd because she's close to 80, and my friend has been wanting, she's tried a number of different things, wanting to have an income for herself. Now, most of the time when people think of someone that's in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, we think, well, they're retired, they're not going to be doing much of anything. I got news for you. People in their 60s and 70s and 80s today are like 40s, 50s, and 60s of yesterday. They are active, they are doing things, and they're bored out of their minds. So what are they finding in today's world? They don't have enough money to live on. This friend of mine decided she wanted to do something to generate an income. Like I started to say, she had tried a number of different venues. They just didn't work. Her physical stamina wasn't there, or she was bored with it. And lo and behold, what evolved for her, which was totally out of spectrum, was pet sitting. Now, what happened with her, and she's going to be making a good amount of money doing this, she realized that physically she couldn't take care of dogs that were of a medium to larger size. So she decided she was going to just take care of little dogs. And by golly, do you know, when she started doing this, she's already got bookings a year out. She's so excited because here she is in these maturing years where she had been wanting for such a long time to have an income of her own. It's now happening. and she is just tickled to death. And she's in nice environments. She absolutely loves the animals. The animals love her. And she's making a good income. Now, the reason I bring up that story is that so often people get so discouraged because maybe what they've been doing in the past hasn't worked. But just like my friend, you never know when a door will open for you, regardless of your age, that will enable you to make a good living, have the lifestyle that you want, and enjoy living life with a sense of quality and a sense of freedom. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're out of time. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about technology. I hope you'll join us. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back here on BBS Radio, Station 1, The Donna Sebo Show, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.